It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
And a drive to right. Gone! The season has begun.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Hour number two on a Thursday, June 18th edition of Overtime. If you missed hour one, we talked NFL, OTAs wrapping up, final checklist items for each and every NFL team ahead of training camp. Brian Urlacher speaking out on the soon-to-be domed home of the Chicago Bears, wherever they end up, and so much more. We also touched on Christian Pulisic's injury and availability for World Cup action tomorrow for Team USA. Also took a nice long look at odds moments ago. You can find hour number one wherever you get your podcasts, ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Still to come on today's show, Vikings talk on the way on a Minnesota Vikings Thursday. Thor Nystrom of Score North will be joining us here in about 20 minutes, centered up on the quarterback competition in Minnesota and whether or not they should bid to have Brendan Sorsby join the quarterback competition. That's up for debate, but all joking aside, I do think I really value the opinion of Thor Nystrom and want to see exactly what he thinks of Brendan Sorsby as a prospect. Where he could go is up for debate. The amount of capital a team would be willing to part ways with in order to get Brendan Sorsby, also up for debate. But what about the prospect? What about the film and the tape of Brendan Sorsby? What stands out? How good of a quarterback is he? And if he had a decent year in college, where would he have gone in 2027? Is he behind Manning and Moore? Is he a peer of those two quarterbacks? We'll see about Brendan Sorsby. That debate coming up here in about 20 minutes. And we'll wrap up the show following the conversation with Thor Nystrom of Score North by delivering you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, it was largely an ugly day for the AL Central yesterday. The good news for the Twins is that they were on the couch with a rare Wednesday off in the middle of a series. Kansas City was the only winner in the division yesterday, beating D.C. 6-2. Detroit lost to Houston 4-2. White Sox were doubled up by the Yankees 10-5. And then Cleveland fell in Milwaukee 9-4. One other notable final, Cubbies got another win against the Rockies 8-6. And Chicago moves to 39-36. Twins are right back in action. 1 o'clock pregame, 1:35 the start time to wrap up the series against the Rangers. They have won Game 1 and Game 2. For Minnesota, we'll see if they can sweep the Rangers on the road. 1:35, the official start time this afternoon right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Also this afternoon, Guardians and Brewers collide again in Milwaukee. That's a 1:10 start time. White Sox and Yankees 6:05. Cardinals and the Royals from Kansas City a 6:40 go time. In the WNBA, big win last night for Olivia Miles and the Minnesota Lynx, 99-83 in L.A. against the Sparks. Minnesota's new record is 12-3. Vegas got a 10-point win against Phoenix on the road, 86-76. The Aces moved their record to 11-4. Tonight, just one game league-wide. Not a fever dream, but the dream visiting the Fever in Indianapolis, 6:30 on Prime Video tonight. Only game on the docket in the WNBA. In the NBA, it's parade day in New York City. Hopefully, one of the bigger parades we've ever seen on display. You would imagine that'll be the case. A sigh of relief. 53 years in the making. A big title and Jalen Brunson, the star that stole the show and also shut up a lot of his haters, according to Tim McMahon.
When the Knicks gave him that $104 million deal, which was average money for a starting point guard, they got roasted for it. People thought they drastically overpaid. You know, then there's the, hey, you can't win a championship with a small guard. And look, we're not piling on Becky Hammon. She wasn't alone in that opinion. There's a whole lot of people nodding along. Nobody really believed that Jalen Brunson could, I shouldn't say nobody, most people didn't believe Jalen Brunson could be that guy on a championship team until it happened. And it happened with him scoring 45 points in an elimination game against Area 51, against Stephon Castle, against Victor Wembanyama. He will never, ever, ever be doubted again.
There you go. Jalen Brunson silencing a lot of those critics. It kind of feels like in a different way, the Jalen Hurts situation, the guy that was maligned a little bit, underrated, overrated, finds a way to get the job done. And then everybody was quiet for a little while about Jalen Hurts until just this past season with the rift publicly, privately between he and A.J. Brown. Similar comparison there for Jalen Brunson in New York as the Knicks are moving on to the offseason. Stephen A. Smith on their checklist and the contract questions looming this offseason in the Big Apple.
Your star player set the tone by, you know, passing on waiting a year and signing for an additional $113 million and instead signed a year earlier at $113 million less, specifically so they can add pieces that he wanted to the squad in order to make this happen. And he delivered. Nobody else is in a position to demand the max. That's the reality of the situation. Certainly you want to get paid, but the objective is to continue to try and win championships, particularly if you're in New York City. And the fallout from it or the benefit from it is the endorsement deals and all of this other stuff, because these brothers going to make money off the court like they never believed. To be a champion representing New York, Oh, the endorsement deals that are coming their way, trust you me, that it's going to be like unlike anything that they have seen in their career. Make no mistake about it. And they're going to benefit exponentially from that, because that's the reality and it's inescapable.
That's Stephen A. Smith this morning on Get Up. Elsewhere, let's talk about those Milwaukee Bucks in time for a split with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Here's ESPN's Tim McMahon.
This thing has been dragging on for years. It's just time. It's just time for everybody involved. It's time for Giannis to move on. It's time for the Bucks to kind of take back control of their franchise. It's one thing when you're clinging to hope of contending. They're nowhere close to contending. This chapter just needs to end.
And that's right. Tim McMahon spot on there. When you talk about the Bucks, they've gone through just about every iteration of scenario trying to get this thing to work after winning a recent NBA title with Giannis. They brought in young stars. They brought in aging veterans. They've also made Giannis the star of the show, committed additional resources to him. None of it's really worked lately, but the question remains, will the Bucks get an offer worthy enough to move off of Giannis? Brian Windhorst noting things have been pretty quiet with a prohibitive deadline less than a week away.
So far, from what I am told, the Bucks have yet to receive an offer that they're willing to accept for Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is somewhat mirroring what happened at the trade deadline last February, Greeny, where they had the market open, didn't agree to a deal, and ended up keeping Giannis. And while there is this deadline of the draft, and I am told that they intend to try to trade him by the draft, I think it's possible there's some percentage chance that they don't find the deal that they like. Miami has been the team that's been most aggressive, I think, in trying to get him, but they've got 7 or 8 different pieces they could trade. None of them what I consider super premium, and I think the Bucks probably want all of them.
There we go. We'll see about the possible trade movers there for Miami. Khalil Ware as well as Tyler Hero come to mind. We'll see about other draft compensation that could be in a trade package for Giannis. But as Wendy notes there, usually pretty darn spot on, that deadline approaching in a hurry. Night number one of the NBA draft coming up less than a week from now on June the 23rd. A reminder for you hockey fans, season might be over. Draft, though, right around the corner as well. June 26th through the 27th, that is Friday and Saturday of next week. NASCAR race coming up this weekend is at San Diego. Road course Sunday, 3 o'clock on Prime Video. And over to the National Football League, where Joe Burrow says in numerous words, how about you talk about my Cincinnati Bengals a little bit more?
I want everybody talking about the Bengals. I want everybody talking about what I'm saying in my press conferences. And is he, you know, you go back and watch what I said before 2019 season at LSU, you know, I feel very similarly about this team. You know, I'm so excited to get started and get moving. And I wish we would ramp this right into training camp so we can continue to improve. Because I feel like, you know, there's so much greatness that we're going to be able to achieve this year. I'm just excited to get going.
And that's Joe Burrow. It actually surprised me quite a bit, because we've been talking a bit about the Bengals, and there's been certain analysts out there saying, look out for Cincinnati. The door is open. The division's there for the taking. It is. It absolutely is. But they got to get out to a decent start. The Bengals, though, odds-wise, surprised me. Usually, we're kind of victims of the moment, if you will, with the odds betting. That's why the Rams are such a heavy favorite. They're nearly double as short of odds as the second place team, Buffalo and Baltimore, plus 1,000 apiece. The Rams plus 550 to win it all. Seahawks, the defending champs, plus 1,100. Eagles plus 1,600, tied with the Patriots and Chiefs. A lot of wonkiness, by the way, in the NFL odds, we'll note as we move forward into the offseason. But Cincinnati has the 14th best odds, tied for 13th, actually, with the Denver Broncos right now. And I will say this, as a matter of fact, that is pretty darn fair. Not as overreactionary as I thought. I would have expected to see Cincy with like the 7th or 8th best odds to win it all. That feels pretty darn fair at 13th, tied with the Denver Broncos. Other news to get to. How about those Ravens, who somehow, some way, have the second best Super Bowl odds right now? But if everything comes unglued this season, could Lamar soon ask out of Baltimore? Here's Chris Canty.
There is an alternative universe where Lamar Jackson decides he doesn't like the course of action in Baltimore. He doesn't think that the replacement that they brought in for John Harbaugh is an upgrade. And he wants to try his hand at going someplace else in the National Football League. So I just think we have to watch this situation in Baltimore all year long, because I do think that Lamar Jackson is a sneaky candidate for an NBA-style ask-out when it comes to the prospects of playing somewhere else.
And that's Chris Canty talking about Lamar Jackson. That would be a massive, massive undertaking if Lamar is to ask out at some point. Let's talk about Brendan Sorsby and the courtship from the National Football League. What kind of interest is there, and what kind of interest will there be come the supplemental draft, which, if confirmed, if ready to roll, will be in mid-July. Here's ESPN's Pete Thamel.
Brendan Sorsby is a quarterback who has first-round talent. And when a player like this becomes available in a forum like the supplemental draft, the entire NFL is going to dig in as much as they can. I've been told by both NFL sources and Sorsby's camp that they expect all 32 teams to be at his pro day, which is going to be July 10th in the Dallas area at Carroll High School in South Lake, Texas. His agent Ron Slavin told me yesterday that 25 GMs have reached out already directly to him to talk about Sorsby and his availability. Because of the nature of the supplemental draft, where you put in a blind pick, everyone kind of has skin in the game here. And because it's a quarterback who could end up being a franchise quarterback, I'm not saying he is, but the talent is certainly intriguing enough, everyone is going to dig in.
And that's ESPN's Pete Thamel. Everyone is going to dig in. Golf underway. U.S. Open underway as of this morning. It'll run through Sunday, and right now we do have an outright leader. Moments ago, Ludvig Åberg took the outright lead at just 2 under par. There are 5 golfers presently at 1 under, and Rory McIlroy and many more at even right now. Rory just getting going. He is through 11 in the majority of the field right there, approximately through the front 9 right now in action. So your latest odds, they have been just about halved on the Scottie Scheffler train right now for the U.S. Open odds. Scheffler initially was around plus 425. He has gone to plus 650. Rory right on his heels, plus 750 right now. And as we check that scoreboard, looking for an update on Scottie Scheffler. Where is he? He is now 3 over par. Round number 1, just 8 holes gone by for Scheffler, to be fair. But 3 over puts him in tied for 42nd. Place. College World Series is down to 2 teams. North Carolina beat West Virginia 12-7 yesterday, and Oklahoma beat up Georgia 11-4. So you got the Sooners and the Tar Heels colliding for all the marbles. Saturday, Game 1, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Sunday, Game 2, 1:30 on ABC. And Monday, Game 3, if necessary, will be Monday night, 6 o'clock on ESPN. And lastly, on your scorecard, World Cup action yesterday. Disappointing draw for Team Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo. They drew with the Democratic Republic of Congo 1-1. England beat up Croatia 4-2. That was a pretty close game throughout. Ghana defeated Panama 1-0. And Colombia beat Uzbekistan 3-1 in the nightcap last night. Today at the World Cup, we'll see Czechia take on South Africa. That is already underway as of 11 a.m. on Fox. Switzerland meets Bosnia-Herzegovina 2 o'clock on Fox. Canada takes on Qatar 5 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. And Team Mexico taking on Team South Korea tonight 8 o'clock on Fox. And again, as I noted in hour 1, if you've been around from Jump Street on today's show, today is the first day of the World Cup where we're getting teams playing in their second game of the tournament. So every team, all 48, have played at least one match. Now we're moving into the second matches of group play. Everybody will play three times in group play before we enter that knockout stage. Team USA in action tomorrow against Australia. Let's dive right into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. Big news from down in Vermilion. They've announced the 2026 Henry Hyder Hall of Fame class that sees seven individuals and one team set to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, which will be Friday, October the 9th. Emily Grove of women's track and field, Grayson Herting of women's swimming and dive, Brooks Little of football, and so many more, including Nicole Seacamp of women's basketball. Seacamp, a decorated career, was part of the team that won the 2016 women's MIT under then head coach Amy Williams. Three-time first team Summit League and four-time Summit League all tournament team performer, guided USD to the WNIT title, two Summit League regular season titles, Summit League tourney title, and an NCAA tournament appearance for Nicole Seacamp. Well-deserved Hall of Fame bid coming her way October the 9th. That is the Friday ahead of the Saturday, October 10th football game against Southern Illinois inside the Dakota Dome. Well, news from up the road in Brookings today. GoJacks.com with the news that South Dakota State Volleyball has announced the addition of Kelsey Botoff to their staff as a graduate assistant. Botoff, who's a graduate of Towson University, comes to the Jackrabbits with experience as both a student athlete and staff member with the Towson Tigers. She served as the director of volleyball operations for Towson since November 2024, and now in the fold with Jackrabbit Volleyball. Latest there at GoJacks.com. Lastly here, as far as your headlines of the day, amazing story right here from Sioux Falls. The University of Sioux Falls football student athlete Blake Stahl has been named one of three finalists for an inaugural sports medicine award, the Mueller Sports Medicine Revive Award, an honor that recognizes collegiate student athletes who have demonstrated extraordinary resilience, character, and heart in overcoming adversity. And no doubt about it, that is what Blake Stahl has done. Stahl's journey to becoming a national finalist extends far beyond the football field. Following the sudden loss of both of his parents recently in a fatal car accident, Stahl stepped away from the sport and returned home to support his family. Despite the challenges, he made the decision to return to USF and continue pursuing his degree and football career. Since returning to campus, Stahl has become deeply involved in community outreach efforts, volunteering with organizations, including the Special Olympics, and working with youth in local schools. Coach Jim Gligowski noting in the article, Blake exemplifies everything that it means to be a Cougar. His strength, selflessness, and ability to persevere through unimaginable circumstances have impacted everyone in our program. We're incredibly proud to see him recognized on a national stage. And again, we'll keep you updated on that award ceremony and the finalists finding their way. It is the Mueller Sports Medicine Revive Award, and you can find that news item at usfcougars.com. And in case you missed it last night, in case you missed it so far this year, the Minnesota Lynx, for my money, are the best team in the WNBA. Olivia Miles is the best rookie in the WNBA, and she set a rookie record with 24 first-half points on her way to a career-high 31 last night as the Lynx beat the Sparks on the road 99-83. Miles, who should have been the number one pick, was the number two pick. She made 10 of 11 shots in the first half, including both of her three-point attempts. The rookie record for any half is held by Dallas Wing star Paige Beckers, who scored 28 in the second half, August 20th of just last year. She's good. Sparks coach Lynn Roberts said she's talented, and what I said pregame, she's super skilled. We were trying to mix things up. We didn't execute it exactly how we hoped to all the time, but you just have to tip your hat to her. She's a great player with a lot of skill. Her ball handling and vision is what separates her, and what makes this team so darn great, the Minnesota Lynx, is how good they are without their brightest star, Nafisa Collier. She's still working her way back, and Olivia Miles, as a rookie, carrying the torch there, along with others, to making the Lynx one of the best teams in the entirety of the WNBA. We will take a break. When we come back, fire up those horns, Viking fans. We're talking Minnesota Vikings football, the quarterback competition between J.J. McCarthy and Kyler Murray, and, of course, Brendan Sorsby. We'll ask about the Vikings' potential interest there, how interested they should be, but I'm also more curious about Thor's opinion of the prospect of Brendan Sorsby, a comp for his play style. How good could he be? How soon could he be starting in the NFL? Could he start in the NFL? Those questions get answered around the corner. Thor Nystrom of Score North next on a Thursday edition of Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Minnesota Vikings Thursday edition of Overtime. Typically hour number one, wall-to-wall Vikings chatter. We're squeezing some in hour two with our friend Thor Nystrom of Score North. You can also view the deep dives from Thor on the Substack page, thorku.substack.com. Thor, always great to talk to you, man. Football season is right in front of us. I can almost feel it. How you doing this week as we navigate through the month of June, my friend?
I'm doing great, Bert. We're getting close enough. We can smell the tailgate. So it's exciting time in the football world.
I got to ask you, though, Thor. I know you're a football junkie, as am I. Is there a different sport out there, whether it's the World Cup, College World Series, hockey, basketball? What's the number two sport in the Nystrom household?
Yeah, well, this, you know, every 4 years or every other year, I suppose, with the women's one, it's the World Cup at this time of the year, trying to get through. And then the other one for me at this time of the year when basketball and hockey's done, getting through for me is UFC as well. But those are only placeholders in the Nystrom household. We're waiting for ball to come back.
Hey, me too. Me as well. I got to ask you this question. I know we mentioned the World Cup there a bit. Of course, the skull chant to the Minnesota Vikings was something that's relatively new. They borrowed it along with the other franchises from Iceland, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know if you've seen Team Norway and their fans. They are literally doing a little bit of a variation on it of them rowing the boat. Should the Minnesota Golden Gophers steal that? Because that makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yeah, it's interesting because PJ Fleck's thing is row the boat, so you could do it with the Gophers, but then of course with the Vikings, it's like the Viking ship thing. So maybe both Minnesota football teams should just take that. It would definitely apply for both.
Hey, certainly a lot of highlights from the World Cup as we're enjoying that. We are beginning the second matchup, so the group stage today. Team USA in action tomorrow afternoon against the Australians out in Seattle. Let's quickly talk about the Brendan Sorsby situation. Situation first, then we'll dive into the player, the comparison, the feel for where he might go. You kind of shift the drama from college football up to the NFL now. Is there an opportunity here for the value to have a wide margin league-wide? How many teams could come calling? And just your comments on the Brendan Sorsby situation on the whole, Thor.
Yeah, as far as the supplemental draft, the first significant one we've had in a while, haven't had one player taken in it since 2019. This is definitely the most high-profile one that I can remember. And it's pretty fascinating because of the profile of Sorsby, where you have the upside. It's a huge kid. He's 6'3", 240. He's built like a tank. He's super athletic, 96th percentile on-field athleticism from the GPS systems. And he's a really good runner. He's also got a live arm. It's not elite arm. I've heard some people say it's elite arm. It's not elite arm strength, but probably for the NFL, B+, A-. But he's very aggressive with it, hunting downfield. He tries to sniff all one-on-one opportunities. And he's also got a fastball, trying to fit balls in, hole shots down the sideline. You see a lot of that. Throws a heat ring, intermediate velocity with that as well. He's shown some layering ability as well, some back shoulder stuff and around the goal line as well, so some fades like that. So he has arm talent as well. It's just he's very raw at present and on the field. And there's two major reasons for that. The first one is his accuracy vacillates. And this is the one where it can potentially improve, or you have a clear road to it, because that all goes back to his mechanics, which get haphazard. Sometimes he rushes the upper body motion in clean pockets. And then a lot of times when you're starting to see any pressure on him, that's when he'll start eschewing the lower body mechanics. That's where balls start to spray on him, and you see some incompletions there and bad misses. So you have that thing. It is theoretically fixable or improvable, though, because it's a mechanical thing. The other one I'm a little bit more concerned about, which is in college, Brendan Sorsby is what I call a one-read-and-tuck quarterback, mm-hmm. where you did not see as much, especially against the better defenses, going across the field with his progressions. The first one's taken away. You'd see a lot of tuck and running from Brendan Sorsby at that point. That is a more viable strategy against the bad defenses of the Big 12 than it is against NFL defenses where it is non-viable. And what concerns me about Sorsby is last year, even though he was good on the field, he had a 90-plus PFF overall grade, was elite territory, everything like that. When Cincinnati played the better defenses, they played five defenses inside the top 50 SP plus at the end of the season defenses. Those games, his play absolutely cratered as opposed to the seven bad opponents that they played. Sorsby, his completion percentage against the seven bad teams, it was like 69%. It was 51% against the five good defenses that he faced, and 23-0 TDI and T rate against the seven bad opponents. Cincinnati went 6-1 in those games. They went 1-4 against the five good opponents, and he, I believe he had a 5-4 TDI and T rate in those five games. So it's the, he always has the rushing. He's a really good rusher. He's a tough kid. Like I said, great athlete. He can evade you. He can run you over. That's the thing where it provides the efficiency. The passing right now, it wildly goes up and down based on who the opponent is. When you see the highlight reel of Brendan Sorsby's throws, you are mostly seeing his games against bad opponents when he was not afraid of the pass rush during his career. Is that something you can fix? That one, for me, it's a longer road in the NFL. It's not out of the question. I mean, a guy who had this exact same issue was a first-round pick the year before, Jackson Dart. He came from a sort of one-read kind of system where you'd see a lot of tuck and running after that. But I would have loved to see Brendan Sorsby in college for one more year because you still have those raw elements. And then, of course, now you have the enormous off-field concerns as well.
Thor Nystrom, our guest here on a Thursday. You can find him on Twitter, tagged in today's show log at ThorKU. Also, the great work centered on the Minnesota Vikings in the NFL draft at Score North. Thor, when it comes down to it, I love anything you put out with the draft, especially the comps. Is the comp for Brendan Sorsby Jackson Dart? If it is, tell me why. But also, is there another name or two that comes to mind, recent comps for Brendan Sorsby or who he could be 6 or 9 months from now?
There definitely is. And as I, you know, watched all the snaps in 2025, there was different guys that were coming up for me. The one that I eventually settled on, it was Blake Bortles is my official comp for Brendan Sorsby. But there was other guys certainly that his game evokes or traits of it. Another one that I considered, this one's a bit further back and it's a bit more maybe outside the box, but I think there's elements of David. Do you remember David Garrard, the starter from the Jaguars?
Really good player.
Yeah. A stocky dual threat kind of a guy who could also get the ball down the field. And, you know, some of the stuff with the progressions and the timing patterns and stuff like that, maybe not as much, but you had the efficiency from the running and his ability to get away from pressure. And then he could also stress the defense deep. So that was another one that I thought of. There's elements of Hurts as well, just in terms of Jalen Hurts, just in terms of the rushing ability at sort of that size and his ability to grind that out. And then some passing foibles. Hurts as a passer is a little bit different than Sorsby. Sorsby is more aggressive, but there's some similarities there. You could also say Malik Willis, potentially. Sorsby's stockier than Malik Willis is, and Malik Willis is a bit more athletic than Sorsby, but they share the same peccadillo in the pocket in college, where Malik Willis, it was a lot of one read kind of stuff, and he looked great when it was there, and he also had the cannon downfield, but it was going across the progressions and not sort of bailing the pocket early were the question with him, and that's very similar to Sorsby as well. So those were some of the guys that were kind of coming up for me when I did it, but yeah, I ended up going with Blake Bortles.
All the feels in a David Garrard comp today on the show. Absolutely love that. Thor Nystrom of Score North, our guest. Thor, if I were to give you three darts to throw at a board, three teams to say likely to bid and win a bid for Brendan Sorsby's services, who are they? And should the Vikings express some interest?
Yeah, so as far as the best team fits, one of them that's been tossed out a lot is the Steelers, and I certainly have them on my list as well. There, I will say this, though, because, a lot of people just that's the most obvious one. The Steelers have too many quarterbacks under contract right now, and they took one in the third round this past spring in Drew Allar, and even though I didn't like that pick, you would have to make some moves if you were them to fit onto the roster here. Some ones that might be a little bit more realistic. I really like the fit with the Colts. The Colts have very little at backup quarterback and nothing at quarterback of the future outside of Daniel Jones, because Anthony Richardson's heading into the last year of his contract. They already declined the year five option. They do not want to play Anthony Richardson. If they could find a trade for him and literally get anything, they would take it right now. So I think Sorsby would make sense for the Colts. The Cardinals are kind of, there's similarities to the Steelers thing, although they don't have quite as many quarterbacks. You have the weird thing with Brissett, but they wasted a pick on Carson Beck in the third round. I would way prefer to try to develop Sorsby, even with the risk to that. Could they be interested? The Dolphins, for the reasons I just mentioned, the Dolphins are already going to construct an offense around Malik Willis that would also fit Sorsby. And you could view that as sort of, you know, Sorsby, we can take it easy with him year one, see what we have in Malik. Then we also, you can sort of get a sense of what you have in Sorsby. And if they like enough either one of those guys going forward, then you don't have to use a first round pick next year in the stack quarterback class on that. And just a couple other ones. The Jets, you can toss out as well. They did use a pick on Klubnik, but they have a third quarterback position open and they're not trying to win this year anyway. Could they try to do that just in case they run into one with Sorsby? Then you wouldn't have to use a first round pick next year on a quarterback. And then last one that I bring up is the Falcons. The Falcons, they do have an open quarterback spot. You have Tua under contract for 1 year. You have Penix, and they'll see with Penix where they get one more year with him before you have to decide on the fifth year option. But if Penix doesn't show more than he has, they're going to have to decline that. And then those are the two quarterbacks right now. So it could make sense for the Falcons. And then also, Bert, I have five dark horse teams for you that are not obvious on the surface, but I think could submit a bid here. And one of these teams could end up winning it. This is more the teams where they have either the established starter or that sort of a thing. But the backup quarterback situation, the long-term contingency plan, they don't have it, so they could get involved here. Number one for me is the Lions.
Yep.
The Lions have tried to do this several times in the past. One great example is Hendon Hooker. They use a third-round pick on him. They have not been able to get sort of that interesting contingency developmental type quarterback. And right now, the Lions quarterback room, all you have, Jared Goff, number one. Their number two quarterback is Teddy Bridgewater. They don't have a third quarterback right now, right? I mean, so we'll see. That's on a legitimate contract there. The Chargers are another one. The Chargers, you have Trey Lance behind Justin Herbert, but no third quarterback. The Buccaneers, I think, are sneaky with this. You have the weird stuff going on with Baker Mayfield, and you have nothing behind him. So the Buccaneers, I think, would make all kinds of sense. The Bills would make sense in terms of there's elements of Sorsby's game that are similar to Josh Allen's. So maybe that he would work in that system. And they also have three quarterbacks under contract, but they're QB3. They could move on from pretty easy. And then the last one, again, outside the box here, but the Washington Commanders, who have very little behind Daniels, and Daniels gets injured all the time. Plus, you have similarities with the games of Daniels and Sorsby, where both of them, they like to throw it deep, and then they also like to tuck and run when it's not there. So that could be another one as sort of a long-term sort of hedge against Jaden Daniels, the injury concerns that he naturally brings.
Really love that. Thor Nystrom, our guest of Score North. Thor, out of every team you mentioned, the team that I just have a feeling that they're going to pull a trigger on a nice bid here is Detroit. I think that is something I very much agree with you on for the Detroit Lions being in the sweepstakes there. Let's talk about the Vikings. Yeah. J.J. McCarthy, Kyler Murray, Carson Wentz hanging around as well. But the competition there is underway. They're not naming a starter. They're going to make their way into training camp still with those two in primary competition. Is there a potential fallout here? You've heard a lot of trade talk with Pelissero recently talking about J.J. McCarthy's value, etc. What's your lean on the quarterback competition today, and what is the potential fallout of this competition later on this summer?
Yeah, when we get to the end there and KOC announces the QB1, that's where it's going to be fascinating to see. Number one, does that create a fissure in the locker room that tears it apart? And then also, will the loser want to leave town, or will the team want to move them? Right? Mm-hmm. Like if because of the draft pick compensation that you could get there. Vikings certainly have the numbers to do something like that because they re-signed Carson Wentz. And in addition, their QB4 right now, it's Max Brosmer, who, you know, we saw just a little bit last year. Not good, but he's a good guy in the building and is a fine QB3 for the NFL. This is why I don't see the Vikings as suitors for Sorsby, because if the Vikings, even if, you know, it was a later day three kind of pick and somehow no one else bid on Sorsby, which I wouldn't see. But if that happened, you're going to have to trade a guy like Carson Wentz or maybe McCarthy. I don't think it would be Kyler in that scenario, even if JJ beat him out, because that would be the team being confident in JJ going forward as the guy. So I don't know that they would give up equity for Sorsby. So they have a numbers problem, and also they don't have enough quarterback reps to go around as is. You see Kyler Murray, you know, sort of complaining to the media that he's not getting the full reps and it's harder to learn the system because of that. So they're not going to want to do the project guy, I don't think, put equity into that. But yes, as far as your question, neither of those guys wants out. You know, there were some rumors, you know, surrounding McCarthy with that, but he was asked outright about that, I believe, by my colleague Judd Zolgad, mm-hmm. or it was either him or Kevin Seifer. One of the two asked McCarthy about that. McCarthy was emphatic with the messaging that I've only ever heard from his camp, which is want to be in Minnesota. You know, this is the place that I want to be. It's the place that I always wanted to be in. This is where I want to be going forward. So all this stuff, you know, at least regarding trades and McCarthy, none of that stuff has ever come from him or his camp. That's sort of been conjecture when you think about the numbers. But that numbers thing is the very thing that brings this up, this conversation point up in this situation where it's up in the air and we don't have a lot of clarification, and we won't basically until Kevin O'Connell announces that QB1, and he's not giving us the timeline for that either. We think that's probably going to be after the first preseason game, maybe after the second one, you know, where you'd still give yourself enough time on the back end to try to construct the roster around the given starter that you pick. But that stuff is all up in the air. So it brings up all these fascinating things to talk about, Bert.
A fascinating offseason continuing for those Minnesota Vikings. New general manager Nolan Teasley in the fold. Also inked a deal with Ryan Pace to join the front office earlier this week. Thor Nystrom, latest and greatest on those Minnesota Vikings. Give him a follow at ThorKU on Twitter. Follow along content at Score North and the Substack page, ThorKU.substack.com. Thor, you're the best, my friend. We'll do it again real soon. Appreciate the time as always.
Always good talking to you, Bert. Thanks so much.
All right. That's Thor Nystrom of Score North. Great stuff. Deep dives. Minnesota Viking talk. Plenty of storylines. We spent a lot of time there on the Brendan Sorsby situation, and that's exactly what I was looking for, is comparison. What is this player like? Who is this player like? What offenses are tailor-made for Sorsby to come in and replicate what the starter does? Malik Willis in Miami, Josh Allen in Buffalo, other similar players, Jackson Dart in New York. There were a lot of great comps there thrown out by Thor Nystrom, but I feel a lot more educated, hope you do as well, on the Sorsby sweepstakes. And make no mistake about it, it is a sweepstake. Everybody's got a lottery ticket. Not all lottery tickets are created equal in the NFL supplemental draft, which, if approved, with Sorsby in the fold, would take place in the middle of the month of July. We will talk about that ad nauseum down the line on the show. For now, though, we come back and wrap up the show. Say so long to Thursday with the latest and greatest edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly coming up next on a Thursday.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, set to round out and wrap up a Thursday edition of Overtime. I got to tell you, that conversation moments ago with Thor Nystrom of Score North was a can't-miss convo on the show. If you did miss it, you can listen back ESPNSiouxFalls.com or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. We talked about Brendan Sorsby quite deeply, a sprinkle of Minnesota Vikings talk, but Sorsby was the topic du jour. That sounds good. I'll have that. Of the day, and we talked about quarterback comparisons. David Garrard, you remember him? That's a great identity crisis in the future. He was a comparison. Jackson Dart was a comparison. A few others out there as well. And we talked landing spots, interested parties. There are a lot of teams that should be interested. and a wide variance of bids to be made. What will the Minnesota Vikings think of Brendan Sorsby? Would they inject him into that quarterback competition, or are they going to be wiser than that? We'll see about what Minnesota could offer. Green Bay should be interested. The Chicago Bears have a backup plan and secret agent man behind Caleb Williams. I don't necessarily think the Bears will be super keen on being interested, but Thor mentioned the Atlanta Falcons, the Miami Dolphins, and my leader in the clubhouse personally, a team that doesn't really need a quarterback of the future per se, but really doesn't have anything behind their starter, who is one of the older starters in the NFL suddenly. That is the Detroit Lions and Jared Goff. I would expect the Lions to be, quote, in the mix for the services of Brendan Sorsby. That certainly will provide us all sorts of drama in the next month ahead. That supplemental draft, if approved, if the application goes through for Brendan Sorsby to join the NFL, that likely would be in the middle of the month of July. Let's get you the good, the bad, and the ugly before we say so long to the Thursday edition of the show.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, you know the drill. Good news first here on the show, and that is exactly where we start with the smirk that crept across Caitlin Clark's face as she was asked about a week full of hints regarding her upcoming signature shoe. Clark knows the masses have been anxiously anticipating her personal shoe after Nike released her own logo last year. The wait officially over. Clark announced her first signature shoe, the Caitlin 1. On Wednesday afternoon, Clark becomes the fifth active WNBA player to currently have her own signature shoe, joining the likes of Angel Reese with Reebok, Breonna Stewart with Puma, Sabrina Ionescu with Nike, and Asia Wilson also with Nike. Caitlin Clark's telling ESPN, this is kind of like your debut album. You want it to be a killer. It's a cool-looking sneaker, dark blue, for the Caitlin 1. New sneaker released officially yesterday afternoon. Other good news, also news from the WNBA. Interest in the league continues to increase, and the league is eager to match the market with more games. Starting next year, the WNBA will move to a 50-game season, up from the current 44-game slate. The expanded footprint was allowed under the dynamic new CBA, which also vastly increased pay for players, secured a $2.2 billion media rights deal, and slated six expansion teams to join the league between 2024 and 2030. The new structure extends the season's end to no later than November 21st of 2027 and November 30th starting in 2028, nearly a month beyond the previous limit of October the 31st, better known as Halloween. Other news to get to, the Washington Capitals are standing by their man, extending the contract of coach Spencer Carberry, signing a multi-year contract extension. This announced earlier on this morning, agreeing to a new deal with the 44-year-old, who has built a reputation as one of the NHL's most promising coaches, comes after he guided the Caps within 4 points of the second and final Eastern Conference wild card spot. Other news to get to, this makes a little more sense now. Coach John Tortorella officially not dismissed, just the contract not renewed for Coach Torts in Vegas after leading the team to a historically significant upset of the Colorado Avalanche via sweep, and then a really nice performance in the Stanley Cup final in which they came up short 4-2. A day after moving on from Torts, the Vegas Golden Knights have let their intentions be known, announced yesterday that they have promoted Ryan Craig, who coached their AHL affiliate, to lead their NHL team. Craig is 44 and will be the first-time NHL head coach. Takes over the Golden Knights after their season ended on Sunday with a loss in the Stanley Cup final. Played for three teams over eight seasons in the NHL. Playing career ended in 2017, with Craig transitioning into coaching just months later. Although he never played for the Golden Knights, his connection to the front office goes back to his time playing junior hockey. And this makes a little bit more sense now. I was not roasting Vegas earlier this week, but it didn't make a lot of sense to me that you bring in an interim coach and you say, hey, keep the boat afloat. maybe win us some games here and there. That would be great. And Coach Torch takes them all the way to the Stanley Cup Final. 2-1 lead in the Stanley Cup Final. And ultimately, they lose to the Canes 4-2. But that felt like a very inspiring performance. And despite the fact that Coach Torch a little bit on the older side, I believe 67. One of those ages for Torch. But certainly, they move on from him. And I was saying, what are you doing? The trajectory's there. Locker room clearly bought in. Oh, okay, it makes sense now. They have a more preferred candidate that they may have been planning on when the initial move was made. Just may not have been an in-season maneuver to make, as Vegas promoting from within. The new head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights is Ryan Craig, who was the coach of their AHL affiliate. Other news to get to, bad news first out of the sport of Major League Baseball, where the Milwaukee Brewers right-handed pitcher Quinn Priester will undergo thoracic outlet decompression surgery on Monday. That'll end his season. The 25-year-old hasn't pitched in the big leagues this season after thoracic outlet symptoms cropped up during spring training. He did pitch in 8 games across 3 minor league levels in an effort to rehab from the injury, but posted an ERA over 15 while walking 24 batters in just 16 innings. And again, I'm not going to spend the time to dive into what the heck that is just yet. Maybe later. But thoracic outlet decompression surgery, something maybe we should take note of as we continue to learn about new injuries down the line in the sports world. And lastly, bad and ugly news. Wizard star Trae Young plans to decline his $49 million player option for the upcoming season and does plan to become a free agent next week. Sources told Anscape's Mark Spears on Wednesday, Washington remains the front runner for the services of the 4-time All-Star, but multiple teams are expected to have interest. Young entered last season determined to prove he was worth a 4-year, $230 million max extension and was the leader of the Atlanta Hawks, and they needed to contend in the East. He suffered a sprained right MCL in his knee in Game 5 of the year, and in late October did not return until mid-December. In Young's absence, the Hawks saw enough in rising star Jalen Johnson and the key players around him to deal Young to Washington, and it is turning out to potentially be an absurdly short-term marriage between Trae Young and the Washington Wizards. Again, they're the favorite, the front runner to return his services, but declining a $50 million option, Trae Young possibly looking to up his value but also get a better landing spot than DC moving forward. That's the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Thursday. Before we go, quick update on the leaderboard from the U.S. Open in Southampton, New York, Shinnecock Hills Country Club. We'll take a look now at an outright leader that is not Ludvig Åberg. He was the outright leader earlier today, but now we've got Sam Stevens, an American, lone atop the leaderboard, 2 under par. And we got a lot of exciting names behind him. 3 golfers at 1 under, Rory, Åberg, and Ben James, and then a smattering of golfers at even. And as we take a look at the tourney favorite, Scottie Scheffler, he is still 3 over par, tied for 38th in the field right now. That is our show. We'll talk to you tomorrow when the Friday edition of Overtime rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.